Jesus said he's coming back for a church that's not the lukewarm church. He wants the church to be fired up. Amen. And we need the fire of God burning in us. And we need to burn up some devils in Jesus' name. I had one of the people that was at the meeting last night. He said he heard that we and Clyde and I are going to go to Nigeria in October. So he had some video of this man that cast out the devils over there in Nigeria. And I was like, whoa. So he showed me some of the footage of that. And I was like, well, Lord, you know, you definitely need some fire to do that. You need the fire of the Holy Ghost. You need the authority that he's given you to do that. Amen? You need to walk in that authority and believe God that you have the Holy Ghost burning in you. This was a message that I put together. It's kind of like an old message that I gave last, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was basically about awakening of the church, revival, like a global revival that is going to need to take place, especially here in the United States and all over the world, really. He's doing some things. And I believe that in these last days, the devil is, he's going to have the biggest headache that he ever had. But the believers have to get themselves fired up, you know, and I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about me too, included, all of us. And this was what the Lord had given me, was to keep your fire burning. And he said, this is what I want you to minister on. He says, so many people over the years has allowed circumstances to turn the flame of their love for me to just a barely burning flame. They have allowed the cares of this life to keep them from serving me with their whole heart. They have accepted the fact that I am their Lord and Savior, but yet they do so many things half-heartedly. How many of you know some people that do stuff half-heartedly? Can somebody demonstrate something that's done half-heartedly? Can anybody come up with a half-heartedly demonstration? You know. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, you're gonna sweep the floor, but yeah, you, instead of sweeping the thing all the way out of the room, you just go, "Ain't nobody watching me," and lift the rug up and sweep it under the rug, and won't nobody see this? You know, or better yet, you know, somebody wants you to pick them up at 7 o'clock, and you go, okay, that's just Virginia. I'll get there whenever I get there. She can wait, you know. Or, you know what I mean? Something like that. Or,
I hate that, too.
Yeah. Or better yet, something like, I'm going to prepare dinner for Laura today. And I know she likes vegetables, but I don't care. I'm just going to give her. I'm going to give her some meat and potatoes. She's got to eat what I fix her anyway. So, you know, she's just Laura or something like that. Or you know, just something half-heartedly. You don't have your full heart. You don't take it seriously. You know? Right, yeah. And I know Uva hates that. I used to be late to church all the time. And I just felt Uva's eyes follow me. Like the pastor's wife, she's always late. He probably, I don't know if he ever said anything. He didn't say it to me, but, you know, I know Uva, and he's like quality control, Mr. Quality Control, and he wants things done right. And so I'm like dragging in here, and I don't know, that was half-heartedly, because I just took my time getting ready. You know, that's just stuff like that. And so that's what the Lord is saying, that they have allowed the cares of this life to keep them from serving me with their whole heart. They have accepted the fact that I am their Lord and Savior, but yet they do so many things half-heartedly. They have become lazy and complacent in their oh boy, I can't read what I said wrong. Anyway, and their complacency, and to my plan, oh, they have become complacent in their commitment to my plans and purposes. I still love them. I will always love them. But there are so many with just a flicker of a flame burning for me in my church. So there's a lot of people in the body that has just, he said he's coming back one day, but one day has gotten to be a long one day, you know. And this is not where, you know, the Lord, you know, wants you to know that he is coming back. They would almost do almost everything that I required of them when they started out. But now it is just a small flame burning. They know that they will go to heaven, and that seems to be just enough for them. I'm looking for those that are fired up and will not bow to the cares of this world and start boldly and make their faithfulness known. So please stop giving me a half-hearted service. Please make a commitment to love me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and everything involved in that. So God wants us to be fired up for him. He doesn't want just a half-heartedly partial, you know, sort of like having a half-husband or a half-wife, you know, honey, you know, I'm partly married to you, you know, I'm just, you know, you're my husband by paper, but I'm not going to do much to keep you happy, you know, I'm just going to sneak around on you and do whatever I feel like doing. You know, that's what it is, what has happened and what is happening. In the United States, you know, people have just become like, well, you know, they don't care much about the things of God like they used to. Used to be fired up about God, used to love God, and it all boils down to the choices. And I'm going to talk about the choices. We are, right now, the product of our choices. Where we are in life, what we are doing right now in life, what we have become, who we are right now. Some people say, well, such and such a person did that to me to make me the way that I am. No, you have a choice. You don't have, nobody has authority, not unless you are in slavery or something like that and you can't get out or you can't break free. But as a human being here in this United States, you have the ability to make choices. And some of the choices that we make sometimes are a hindrance to us, and it stops us from being productive. It stops us from being what all that God has wanted us to be. You know, like right now, some of us are making choices. We're sitting here, some looking at me, some of you thinking about something else, some of you are looking at your paper and writing on your paper. You're sitting there, somebody make a choice, Donna made a choice to go back there and open that door. And, you know, everything, just think about it. Everything that we do is choice-driven. God gave us that ability to choose. And I think that today we all need to choose to believe God for a revival here in this United States of America. For this state, for this country to turn around from this wicked ways. He said, if my people that are called by my name shall pray, you know, then, you know, he'll hear from heaven. If, you know, they humble themselves, he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. Our land needs healing. Our land needs healing, people. I'm just telling you, there is so much junk that's coming, has come into this country. And, I mean, you know, I don't know if, I'm just thinking, you know, why, you know, sort of like a door. You know, I was looking at, the guy was showing me that video of the demonic guy where he was laying on the floor in Africa, and he was, you know, this man was casting out devils, and it was like an unseen force was just tossing the man all over the floor and, you know, dragging him up and down the floor, and he was, you know, demonic possessed. You know, he had something that he did gave the devil the authority to come. He gave the devil the key to something. It's something choice, some choice either that he made You know, sometimes people say, well, witchcraft, somebody put witchcraft on me. Well, they may have. You know, that's a possibility. You know, it is demonic forces. But sometimes it's something that in our makeup and in our attitude and in our buildup and our whoever that opens that door. The supernatural, the devil can't come and take over you unless you allow him to. You have to have the thought, you have to know that demonic forces should not be messing with you. And you should stand your ground and declare God's power over you and plead the blood of Jesus over you and your family and declare the things that God has provided for you. Amen? Hallelujah. The awakening of the Church of Jesus Christ. Christianity is the life of Christ in human persons. The Bible says that God was in Christ. After Jesus died for our sins and came back from the dead, the Bible now declares that he lives in us. God's desire was to share his life with his offspring. He breathed his own breath, his own spirit, into his creation. Adam and Eve became living souls. The divine life of God became their life. But then they sinned. The result was death and separation from God, who longed for their companionship. Humankind has been estranged from God since the original sin. Animal sacrifice could never redeem them. Finally, God sent his Son to demonstrate his love for the world, then to pay the penalty for sin so that he could be reunited with his offspring. For 3 years, Jesus showed the world that God is life, forgiving, healing, and blessing all who believed on him. Then, to ransom humanity, he bore the sins of the world, assumed all guilt, endured all judgment, and died on the cross in our place. The Bible message is that whoever believes that Christ died to redeem them from sin and death will have God's divine life imparted to them again as his free gift. And this is Christianity. 3 days after Christ's death, God raised him from the dead. He appeared to his followers during 40 days, explaining that he died to ransom humanity from sin and to reconcile people to God. After many appearances, he ascended back to the Father and his own blood, with his own blood, as a witness that his death paid for the sins of the world. By Christ's sacrifice, the wall of sin that separates people from God was moved for all who believe that Christ's death redeemed them. With sin removed, God can live again in his offspring. So he sent the Holy Spirit into his followers and gave them the same power that Jesus had to continue the same ministry that Christ began. We call that Christianity, the life of Christ in believers, continuing the same relationship with God and the same ministry to people that he began. In Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. God has given us this great commission to go into all of the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is being preached all over the world, even now, even right now. Somebody is somewhere preaching the gospel. Amen. Like the missionaries from Heather and Jesse from Zambia. You know, they have a mission to go into all of Africa, and they have like these different sectors, and they've been given jobs to do different things all over Africa. The word of God is being preached. Amen. United States is falling, is stepping, taking a step back. People, it's just, you know, for some reason, I guess because, you know, I'm thinking because this country was built on the fact of that there was a freedom of religion that we desired here when we came, when this country began. And so because we do have that, you know, all of the different religions of the world, they've decided to come in the United States. But, you know, then somehow the other is squeezing Christianity out. But that's because of the wrong choices. That's because people are choosing the wrong thing. They have made decisions that are ungodly decisions. Amen. So can you play that? Can you start putting that song together for me, Diane, also, if you can, so that I want to play that also. Praise the Lord. So by that, I'm just saying that we need revival in the church. You know, I guess the word revival, if you can't be the word revival, if revived, you know, that word revived, it must mean that sometimes you were vibrant and alive, and you need something to just stir your fire up again. We need to stir some fire up in the body of Christ. Amen. I'm just so thankful that God can talk to us by the Holy Spirit and give us that fire and give us what we need. And you don't have to. A lot of people are fretting about what has happened with the homosexuals and all of that kind of stuff and everything that's gone on and gone wrong. I still have faith in God that He can revive us again. I have faith in Him that no matter how much tragedy and how much turmoil has happened and it is happening in this country, that there is going to be a time when and it's going to come real soon that God's going to stir up some stuff right here in this United States of America, people. Just don't give up. Don't lose faith. Get yourself fired up. Whatever you need to do to stir yourself up so that you can be a flame of fire for the Lord, so that you can be a witness for the Lord. Whatever it is that you need to do, just do it. Make that choice and do it. Just stir yourself up. You know, I don't have to come over Laura's house if she's cooking a pot of beans. I shouldn't have to come over her house and stir them beans up for her. You know? I shouldn't have to, like, you know, come over to Tim's house and stir his rice up in his pot, or you know, turn your Cornish hen over on the barbecue pit. You should be able to do that yourself. And we have to stir. I'm preaching to the choir because y'all already know this. But you know, just to stir some things up in you. You know, that people have to do. We have to stir the giftings and the callings and the anointings up in us that we have. You know, we shouldn't be just sitting on what we've learned. You know, this is a small congregation right now. I know we're going to grow. We're going to grow, and we're going to be a big congregation one day. But you know what? The thing is that you in here now are the solid rock of what Maranatha Christian Center is about. You are the solid rock. You are what God's going to rely on to draw from. There's going to be a lot of babies that's going to come in that need help and nourishment and things that you have that has been planted in you, that has been, you know, given into you, and you're going to be required by God to give it out. And the more you give it out, the more He's going to give to you. One thing that Colette said this morning was that God provides seed to the sower. In other words, if you're not sowing anything, He's not going to give you no seed to sow. You know, you have to have the seed. He provides the seed to the sower. So in other words, if you're like a seed, you're here, you're just like a seed. He's going to sow you into the lives of people, and you're going to be able to speak to people and help them with their Christian walk and help them to become those flames of fire that's necessary in these last days. And the last days, they said, well, the last days, these are the last days. I've been saying that since Jesus was here. Well, they began back then, you know, and these last days are continuing on. And your life is a witness. It's going to be a witness to many. Amen. In Acts 1. It says, these former accounts I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, hath given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also represented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, 1, he says, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from them to teach and to preach in their cities. And then John had heard in prison that about the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. I'm missing page 3, y'all. Anyway. And there it is. And said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John these things which you hear. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Matthew 1, verse 34, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many devils, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Praise the Lord. Now, he's given us the ability to do the works, the same works that he did while he was here on the earth. And we have to do them. You know, we have to do them. We have to be fired up to do them. So, we need to have an awakening in the church, and that needs to go out into the world. Hallelujah. Matthew 24 says, in verse 1, says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. He says, verse 3, says, now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Deception is out there in bold, big letters today. But, you know, you have to make sure you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. I showed y'all some of the pestilence that's around even now. And earthquakes in various places. We've seen many, many times earthquakes that have destroyed a whole lot of people and a whole lot of things. And then all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up for tribulation to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Even here in this country, that's going on right now. If you mention the name of Jesus, you know, you get persecuted. If you say Buddha or something like that, or whoever, you know, or some other god, they don't say anything to you. They won't say anything to you, you know. But you call on the name of Jesus, and they want you to go to jail, and then they want to take your Bible sermons away from you and lock you up in jail and tell you you can't preach in the name of Jesus. Well, they did the same thing back there. They did the same thing back there in the biblical times. It says, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended will betray each other and will hate one another. For many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I see that every day. People are just cold-hearted. They don't care about other people. They treat them just any old kind of way. They talk to them any old kind of way. He says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And on, and it goes on and on. I'm not going to take y'all all the way over there. But just know that the end is here. I mean, it's obvious. It's right here. You know, I had this article here. It says, will there be a worldwide revival? I'm not sure how to pronounce his first name is Remar. I can't remember pronounce the last part. But oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at the presence, as when the melting fire burneth and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known in thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. The question is, does God want a worldwide revival? This man says, I believe with all of my heart that God's agenda has never been anything less than salvation for the whole world. He says that God does not want anyone to perish. No, not one. Jesus came for all. He died for all. And he rose for all. So any church that has an agenda smaller than the world falls short of the perfect will of God. Any church that has a goal for herself, be it for 50 or 5,000 members, is missing the mark. God wants all men, the whole world, to know him and to serve him. Hallelujah. Salvation has come in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Since God wants a worldwide revival, why don't we want one? Since God does all he can to bring it to pass, why don't we? Let me ask you, do you want what God wants? Does your prayer life tell others that you are after a worldwide revival? Does your witnessing indicate such? Does your church giving, does your attitude, does the way you spend your time indicate that you want a worldwide revival? Does the way you raise your children, the way you relate to your spouse and other friends and enemies tell us that you want what God wants? Do your church budget, your church prayer meetings, and your church activities demonstrate to the Lord that your church wants a worldwide revival? God wants a worldwide revival. Jesus is praying for it now, and he has been doing so for nearly 2,000 years. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Oh, let us stop pulling our little church programs ahead of God's main plan. And praise God, every church can do so, whether it be a house church or a congregation of 10,000. 2,000 years of church effort in saving souls has miserably failed. More people today die without knowing Christ than ever. We need something bigger and something better than has been tried before. God wants a worldwide revival. Jesus prayed for it. And the prophets predicted it. So we do. We at Maranatha Christian Center, we want a worldwide revival, don't we? Amen. And I could read on and on and on what this man was saying. But the point is that we want it, but the body of Christ as a whole need to want it too. I'm just thinking about how many people live in China. There's billions of people that live in China. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, let those people get a hold of the gospel over there. Let the people in India get a hold of the gospel. Let us pray for these countries that have just such a magnitude, a multitude of people. Let Iran, who's you know, everybody is threatened by what they're when they get their hands on a nuclear weapon. Let us pray for them that they become fired up for Jesus Christ, that they wouldn't even think twice about sending any kind of nuclear weapon anywhere, but their whole goal is to send the gospel to the world, you know? Let us pray for things like that. You know, let us not grow weary. God's given us the tools. He's given us every tool that we need to do his work, to do his will. You know, are we sitting aside just saying, oh, somebody else do it? Or are we trying to do it ourselves? So I'm just trying to put some fire in you again, you know, just to let you be aware that we can become lethargic. I have become lethargic in some things too, many things, you know. I work, you know, but then I allow my work to be like a crutch sometimes and don't do what I'm supposed to do for the Lord. But, you know, I'm still trying, you know, and I'm not under persecution because of that, and I don't feel like I'm under condemnation because I haven't done everything just right. So I pray and I ask God to help me every day to do what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes I don't do it and sometimes I do. But you know, you just keep on going. You keep going. You don't give up. You know, and God will bless you for your faithfulness, and he will bless you for your time, and he will bless you for he knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your attitude. If your attitude stinks, he knows that too. You know, if you have a good attitude, he knows that too. So you just keep on, you know, the thing I'm trying to tell you today is that there is a lot of people that need us. They need what we have. They need to know about what we have, you know. And your witness, whether you go, you know, I'm not a person to talk to a lot of people. You know, so I could ride with you all the way to China and not have to say one word, but I'm just as content as I ever have been, you know, ever could be. I don't talk a lot, you know, I don't have to talk a lot. You know, I don't feel like, and some people feel like you got to talk every minute, da 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 da. You know, I have an aunt like that. She talks, I call her up, and she talks from the minute that I picked up the phone to the end, and I never said one word. You know what I'm saying? So some people think that they always have to talk, but I don't feel like that. But I do want my witness to as a minister of the gospel, and also as a member of the body of Christ, I want my witness to represent God wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I put my hands to do. I want my witness to be there, to people know that I represent God, that I am a believer, that Jesus Christ lives big in me. Amen. And you can do the same thing. Amen. So I just want to stir you up that we need to have an awakening of the church. We need a global revival. We need the body of Christ. God sent Jesus, his best for us, his sacrifice for us, was to bring us into unity with God. You know, the devil has lied, and he's lying all the time. I don't even think about him, you know. I don't even think about what he does and how he operates. You know, I don't even give him that pleasure to even think about him. You know, I ignore all of the junk that he's doing and trying to do, you know, but you're still supposed to do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pray. And the attack is, there's a big attack on the children. We have to pray for our children because the devil is trying to destroy the children, you know, like he always did. Like even back then, there was always a big attack on the children. When there was a mighty move of God, something big getting ready to happen, you could see the children being attacked, you know, being persecuted. You know, the devil is out there. He's a big liar. He doesn't want the next generation to bring forth the revival that's needed in this land. But that next generation is going to bring it. Amen? It's going to bring it, and we have to do what we can to feed into them, to teach them. That's why one of the best jobs in the church is teaching the children. That is the biggest and one of the best jobs that you could ever have, because you're speaking something into a whole another generation of people, a whole another generation of people. You want this job up here to speak before you. You should already know the word, you know, yourself. So one of the biggest jobs in the church is impartation into the children. That is one of the biggest jobs. I am telling you that if you want If you want to please God, you go in there and you deal with those children and you teach them what God wants them to know. And that next generation will bring that to life. It'll bring it. Because, like, just think about what's happening right now in our country and the laws and stuff that are passing right now. That whole generation of pot-smoking people are making your laws right now. Okay? Just think about it. Back in the 60s when they were drug-free and loving everybody and all of that free life living and stuff, you know, they're creating your laws to legalize the marijuana that they were smoking back then. Oh, yeah, when we get old enough, we're going to vote these laws in, and they're going to be able to smoke marijuana freely or do whatever they want to do freely. Well, look at Colorado and all these other states. And one of the girls that got baptized, she's a student out there in Colorado. And she said every student that she run across is just stoned out of their mind on marijuana, you know. It's just all of the students are just walking around high, you know. And she's like, she doesn't have a lot of association with a lot of the people. But, you know, just think about that, this whole generation, that whole generation. You know, some of them, I'm not saying it's all bad. Don't take me wrong. I'm not saying everybody in that generation was totally bad. But there are people that are in that generation now that are making the laws. They are making decisions for this country, you know. But then you impart things into these children that are now growing up. The next 40 years, children that will be growing up and making the laws for the next, you know, in the next 40, 50 years. You know, you put the word of God in their heart and stir them, get them stirred up about the things of God. Guess what they're going to produce in that generation? They're going to produce the things of God, you know. If they know the Lord, if they've been walking with the Lord and they continue to walk with the Lord, that's what's going to happen. So, you know, don't belittle being out back there with children. When we say we want volunteers to work with the children, everybody, you know, should, including me, you know, some people just can't deal with children, you know, like, ooh. But, you know, everybody should be willing and ready to do whatever is necessary to help with the children, you know, to help them grow up, to help them to be responsible citizens. Amen? So I said all that to say, let's stir ourselves up. Let's get ourselves involved in what we need to do and get fired, get the fire burning in you again. So I don't have to come to Laura's house and stir up her pot of beans. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was also thinking, I was looking at this book here, and I probably presented it to you before. It's called All Things Are Possible. This was about the healing and charismatic revival of America back in the 50s. And there's people in here, like there's a whole bunch of people that were in that era, and they call themselves, back then they called themselves the Voice of Healing, which is the same name that Pastor Rich has on his ministry also. But there's people like Oral Roberts, Brandon, what was his name? Huh? William Brennan. And even like on the front here, he was so fired up and forgot. You remember he had that halo over his head? That visible manifestation of God, you know? And so he had to, you know, spend some time with the Lord, you know, to have that happen, to be in that vein, you know. And Oral Roberts, the things, people, I think he got dissed a lot. Like, this is a picture of William Brandon right here. You see that? He has like a halo over the top of his head. You see that? The white thing? That's a picture of him. He was fired up for the Lord. You know, he didn't have no water on his on his flames. I mean, he was fired up. He was just fired up. And Oral Roberts, I think he did so much for the kingdom of God, but you know, people kind of like just, you know, pushed him aside, you know. And I think that's one sad thing that those people that have poured so much into us and into the ministry, you know, that they get pushed aside and not even thought about, and people that die from not even having enough food to eat, you know. That's not fair. That's not the way God wants it. Amen. So, anyway, if you get a chance to read, go read one of these, get one of these books called All Things Are Possible. It tells you about some of the things that people did back in the days when they had these massive, mighty revivals in the land. And I think that this whole country will be shaken again. I declare that today. Let's stand and agree on that. Amen.